This is All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, director of Lincoln City Libraries. This time of year, I stock the best of the year list for titles that seem to pop up over and over. And that's how I chose today's book, Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders and the Birth of the FBI by David Gran. He introduces the book with an explanation of its title. He writes, "In April, millions of tiny flowers spread over the Blackjack Hills and vast prairies in the Osage Territory of Oklahoma. There are Johnny Jump-Ups and Spring Beauties and Little Bluettes. The Osage writer John Joseph Matthews observed that the galaxy of petals makes it look as if the gods had left confetti. In May, when coyotes howl beneath an unnervingly large moon, taller plants, such as spiderworts and black-eyed Susans, begin to creep over the tinier blooms, stealing their light and water. The necks of the smaller flowers break, and their petals flutter away, and before long they are buried underground. This is why the Osage Indians refer to May as the time of the flower-killing moon." On May 24, 1921, Molly Burkhart, a resident of the Osage settlement town of Gray Horse, Oklahoma, began to fear that something had happened to one of her three sisters, Anna Brown. This book is nonfiction social history set in the 1920s in northeast Oklahoma. The Osage people living on a reservation there became rich because they owned the mineral rights under their properties and oil was found there. The payout individuals received made them remarkably wealthy remarkably quickly. In the arrangements and understandings of the time, those individuals whose names appeared on the allotment list were often not considered able to take care of their own affairs. They were usually assigned guardians who looked after those financial affairs, usually for a fee. The situation seemed perfectly set up for unscrupulous white people in the area to take advantage. But then it got worse. As many Osage people were murdered or died under mysterious circumstances. Some of those were obvious execution-style shootings, others poisonings over time, sometimes mimicking illnesses. Molly Burkhart, introduced on the first page, slowly becomes the lone member of her family as one by one her mother and sisters die. Those precious mineral rights that made the Osage rich could only be inherited, not sold, and all of the rights in her family ended up with just Molly. There appeared to be a pattern of who would be targeted to die, even though the methods of the murders varied widely. The FBI was a young agency at the time, called in to take over from ineffective local law enforcement. J. Edgar Hoover needed a success. He called on Tom White, a former Texas Ranger, to oversee an investigation. White gathered a group of agents and set to work. Eventually, they realized that a man named Hale seemed to be at the center of a lot of the deaths. As Gran writes, "During the fall of 1925, White tried to reassure Hoover that he'd gather enough evidence to put away Hale and his accomplices. White sent Hoover a memo reporting that an undercover operative was on Hale's ranch that very moment, spying. White was feeling pressure not just from Hoover. In the short time that White had been on the case, he had seen the lights burning each night around the homes of the Osage and seen that members of the community wouldn't let their children go into town alone and seen more and more residents selling their homes and moving to distant states or even other countries like Mexico or Canada. The desperation of the Osage was unmistakable, as was their skepticism toward the investigation." I'm not sure there's an accepted term for books that research and retell stories of historical injustices. Books recently reviewed on this program include The Boys in the Bunkhouse, Servitude and Salvation in the Heartland by Dan Barry, about a group of developmentally disabled men working for almost nothing in the meatpacking industry, and Blood at the Root, a racial cleansing in America by Patrick Phillips, about a county in Georgia that became all white in 1912 due to lynchings and remained all white until the 1980s. What do we learn when we read these? It's tempting when reading a book like this to look back thinking, what a crazy time that was, how good that we know better now. Although in another 75 or 100 years, we can be reasonably sure that books will be written about injustices happening now. Often the authors of such books describe how they came across a story that just had to be told. I found those books I mentioned, and this one, to be highly readable, in the sense that the authors present a well-researched presentation of a story that seems too bad to be true. Why do we find them compelling? Are they showing us a way to a better society? I'd like to think that it isn't about reinforcing a smug superiority about the way things used to be. There are plenty of stories like this in the history of Native Americans. Grand's contribution is to spotlight this particular tragedy in the context of its time and as a confusing series of crimes that somehow needed to be understood and solved. In interviews, he describes how he came across this story when visiting the Museum of the Osage People. A panoramic photograph from the 1920s on display there of a full group of the community had one of the final sections cut out. When asked about it, the docent there showed him a copy of the missing section and said, "The devil is right here," pointing out a man in the picture, a white man, a pillar of the community, found responsible for several of the killings. Grand credits the availability of documents in various archives as allowing him to piece together this story. And indeed, David Grand makes this story such compelling reading by so carefully and thoroughly developing the characters. From the crooks to the Osage individuals, including Molly Burkhart and her family, to law enforcement, including Tom White. He places people within the context of the time and in their circles of family and friends. As the book progresses, he reveals that a man who seems like a kind husband has ulterior motives, and that some characters with the swagger of self-made men are hiding lives of crime and cruelty. Eventually, some men do go to prison and serve significant terms, even though there was doubt that juries in the area would send a white person to prison for the death of an Osage. The book concludes with Grand's own research into additional clues found in primary documents. In the process, he identifies another man, another person considered a pillar of the community, who seems too linked to too many murders not to be someone who should have been charged and tried. The story layers treachery upon trust, upon guilt, upon vulnerability. As noted, it makes for compelling reading. I recommend this to people who gravitate to social history, particularly as it relates to the American West, and especially to those interested in the history of Native Americans in the United States. The book is Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders, and the Birth of the FBI by David Grand. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online. Visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.